It's Marketplace Tech for Thursday the 4th. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Literature and art help us explore the mysteries of the human mind, but understanding the minute circuitries of the human brain takes science, technology, and according to the Obama administration, quite a bit of federal money. You may have heard the administration is pumping $100 million into getting a detailed understanding of the brain with the hope of treating or eliminating diseases such as Alzheimer's. But you may not have heard about the tech involved. Dr. Francis Collins is head of the National Institutes of Health, which disperses that money.
Well, one that's very intriguing that's just been recently invented is called optogenetics, where you can, with an experimental animal like a mouse, set it up so that shining a light just with a laser on a neuron causes it to fire. And therefore, you can see what happens when you activate a particular cell or a group of cells simply with the use of light in an intact animal who's running around and doing something. There are other technologies that allow you to visualize that cells have fired because they change their calcium concentration. And we need nanoscience probes that will allow you to be able to actually touch hundreds or thousands or hundreds of thousands of neurons. Those are a few of the technologies, but there's probably a bunch of others that we haven't invented yet. And a project like this is a great inducer of creativity.
If this work to understand the brain could help and stop, for instance, dementia, many would argue that would be worth the $100 million in federal money right there. But to what extent might a detailed understanding of how the brain works also inform things like artificial intelligence, artificial memory, or expert systems?
Oh, I think that's another big potential consequence, one that makes people both excited and maybe a little queasy, and we need to be sure we're paying attention to some of the ethical issues here too. But yeah, if we understood the brain well enough to be able to do a better job of interfacing the brain with other activities, particularly for people who have impairments like a quadriplegic, where you want to be able to give them the ability to move an extremity just by thinking about it, maybe we would also learn enough about memories to be able to enhance the ability to save and retrieve information. Information that all of us sometimes struggle to pull out.
This is, of course, a lean time for federal budgets, and this is quite a bit of money, $100 million. There was not an alternate route where you could somehow inspire private entrepreneurship to meet this challenge?
Well, private entrepreneurship is certainly engaged. But if you look at the history of success in terms of large scientific enterprises with enormous economic and human benefits, unless there is a sort of central focus on the basic science, which government is really the best and most effective supporter of, then the project isn't really going to get off the ground. We will see in this case that the government investments are going to be just part of the story, but a very important part, and in many ways kind of a coordinator of the enterprise, which from my experience in the Genome Project worked extremely well.
Francis Collins is head of NIH. Dr. Collins, thank you.
A pleasure to be with you.
They should have called it the Cooper Communicator, or maybe Marty's Mobile. 40 years ago, Motorola engineer Martin Cooper invented the cell phone, to the dismay of a competing team at AT&T's Bell Labs. Chris Ziegler, senior editor at the tech publication The Verge, has been writing about this rivalry.
There's a very famous story about how Marty called his counterpart at Bell. That was his first call from the cell phone that he invented. That story has kind of gone down in history as one of the great stories in technology.
The Bell Labs guy may not have appreciated that first phone call, which Marty Cooper made in front of a gang of reporters in New York. I'm David Brancaccio, and that's Marketplace Tech. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.